listening to Zap Night, a video game review podcast. Join your hosts as we review video games from all systems and all genres.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Zap Night. I'm your host Danny.
And I'm your co-host Kaylee.
We are on episode 110, and today we are actually going to somewhat review a movie.
We did it once before.
We did with Kingsglaive back when we were just a baby podcast.
We were babies.
I think we were looking at like episode 5.
Something.
Is that right?
We looked it up not that long ago because we were talking about, I don't know what we were talking about.
I think we were just talking about the age of our podcast. Yeah. But yeah, it's we reviewed Kingsglaive. That was episode 4. So I mean, it's been a while since we reviewed a movie as like an actual review episode. As I recall, that episode is terrible.
We redid it. We had to redo the whole we reviewed it. Then we went home, or I went home, I guess. And the next day, I was like, hey, so
that was terrible.
We were all like, yeah, that was pretty bad. And then we did it again. I don't think it was nearly as bad, but we
It seems like we may have had to do it yet again because we lost the audio or something. Yeah, it was back then. We were struggling. We at least have our tech together now. I mean, it's better than it used to be. I say that, and then this episode will have like some stupid horrible buzz or something. Seems like that's usually how it goes.
Hey guys, we're doing a lot better these days.
That was really good. So anyway, we're reviewing Final Fantasy VII Advent Children. What's funny about this is it's actually significantly older than Kingsglaive. It came out,
2005.
Oh yeah, 2005. So yeah, 2005, this was originally released. It did finally come out in North America in 2006 and Europe in 2006. Since then, it's been out on like DVD Blu-ray. I think I have the PSP copy. The PSP, like, UMD movie. I have a DVD of it. I have the deluxe edition. I have the Blu-ray.
Jeez.
I have, multiple copies. And it's not that, like, I went out and hunted these down. I just have acquired
found them
through, like, from garage sales and thrift shops and stuff. So, you know, I didn't actually go out and spend, like, retail dollars on it. It was just, a dollar here and there because I didn't already have it.
So now we can watch it on any platform, all that we want.
Yes. and I could stream it if I wanted to. So a little bit of setup for this movie. This movie takes place 2 years after the events of Final Fantasy VII. So chronologically, you're looking at Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core. And technically, I guess before that, there's Crisis.
Yeah, that's right. That was Last Order.
Before Crisis didn't actually release anywhere outside of Japan, so like we've had no real way of knowing what the contents
sure
of that
was. Stuff out,
and it was just a mobile game.
I watched it a long time ago. It was interesting though. It had some information on there of some of the characters.
So then, Crisis Core's after that.
Yep.
And that's the tale of Zack and all of his mischief that he gets into. Final Fantasy VII, then, the original Final Fantasy VII series, or not series, Final Fantasy VII, the game. And then, is Dirge of Cerberus?
Right after that. I don't know. I think it is, like, almost immediately afterwards, but I don't know if it comes before or after Advent Children.
Yeah, I don't know either. But then Advent Children is sometime after the game.
Yeah.
Advent Children, I don't even know how to start. Like, I guess to begin, we'll kind of go over the story a little bit,
okay,
and we'll just kind of talk about it as best we can. We're not planning on scoring this because it is just a movie. We can't really go over gameplay or anything like that because there was none, just a movie. But it's just a chance to sit down and talk about it. When was the first time that you watched this movie?
Oh, man, we were kids in your basement. Well,
really?
It was our basement. We were kids, and we had some, like, ripped version that you would manage to get. And we watched it together in the basement. Yep.
Huh. I remember when I first heard about it, I was one of my first jobs, and I was, it was, I was working E-Strip.
Oh, okay. Wow.
that's how old it was. And E-Strip is not what you think it is. No, but the guy who was working next to me, I was telling him about liking Final Fantasy. He was asking me about Advent Children, and I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, they came out with a movie. And I'm like, you're giving me crap. Yeah. There's no way this would slide under my radar. How would I not know about this? Sure enough, they came out with a movie. And, I mean, it makes sense. It came out in the U.S. in 2006. I don't know if... I'm not really sure if it came out like a theatrical release, like in the theaters anywhere. Maybe it did, but I don't know. But I do know that that's about the right time frame that I would have noticed. It would have been about 2006, 2007. I did whatever I could to get a copy of it. And I do remember sitting and watching it, but I don't remember us watching it together, but it makes sense that we would have. But yeah, so then afterwards, I've just had copies of it, and I've watched it periodically throughout the years. And the significance of reviewing it now is that they just released, they just did a theater release in North America, and that was just a few days ago. And this is coming out on the 1st, so
cinematic release, right? Not like theatric on the theater.
Oh no, I mean, that's what they call it though. But yeah, so they had it out in all the theaters just a few days ago. We got a chance to sit down and watch it again.
We had to.
It was really nice to see it in the theaters, though the movie's not that great.
You know what? There's something real magical about collectively everyone laughing at how bad certain parts were. Because we were laughing at how bad it was. It wasn't like something funny was said. It was how it was said and just stuff like that.
Right.
But, you know, you were among people. You're people.
Yeah. Well, and I think at some point we all sat down and looking at the whole crowd.
It's like these older
people. No, we're all about the same age. Like, you know, mid-30s to early 40s. I mean, that was kind of the audience.
Yeah.
And to think that all of us were just kids when the original Final Fantasy VII came out was, like, mind-blowing to me. That, you know, all these kids are, you know, we all grew up with this. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, to finally get a chance to sit down and watch it in the theaters was really nice. And with the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming out in literally, by the time this episode airs,
it
will already be out. So we're reviewing this on the 24th, or we're recording this episode on the 24th. It won't come out until the 1st, but yeah, by the time you listen to this, it's already out.
Yay!
So, from our perspective, our Final Fantasy VII journey, we played the original Final Fantasy VII. There's a review for that, if you want to listen to that. We played and reviewed Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core. We just did that a few months ago. It hasn't been that long. Although, but if I look, it's probably like a year ago or something crazy.
It might be.
I know. We've done Final Fantasy VII Remake when that originally came out, and that's been a while now. And now with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming out, it makes sense to also review the movie as well. It's very clear to me that Square Enix wants us to understand the full story before the games are released. You know what I mean? Like, the way that they released Remake, and Remake is a good, like, introduction to the world, introduction to the characters. But then they re-released Crisis Core, which is an interesting move, because Crisis Core really divulges the whole plot twist to Final Fantasy VII. And then for them to release or to reintroduce Advent Children into this, and they had a little interview at the beginning with some of the directors and producers of the game. And they're also talking about how they want Advent Children to have canon in...
They want to try their best to make sure that all of these somehow connect where it makes sense.
Right. which highly indicates that like the ending of the original Final Fantasy VII and the entire plot of Crisis Core, they should all make sense when it's all said and done.
What's interesting though is that Dirge of Cerberus,
I know, it's been like swept under the rug.
And so it makes you wonder, but like,
but they did have some like little cameos of Dirge of Cerberus when it comes to Yuffie's thing. Stuff.
Yeah.
So I mean, obviously that does tie into the canon of Dirge of Cerberus being true. So like, you know, maybe that's they're saving some of that future release. Like maybe next year or whatever, whenever the final part of Final Fantasy VII is being released, they'll start releasing, you know, Dirge of Cerberus or something else, re-releasing that, which would be nice. Dirge of Cerberus could use a facelift.
Are you going to be sad when the last part's out and done?
I don't think so.
No?
I mean, as long as they do the game justice, I feel like it'll be good.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Apparently reviews are already out, by the way. Not that we're here to talk about that, but the reviews are already out, and I guess it's doing really, really good.
That's what I've heard, too, that it's... But, like, I'm trying so hard to stay away.
You just go in and, like, it is what it is.
I'm trying so hard to stay away from reviews. Yeah, I'm trying so hard to stay away from, like, any new information because I want it to be as raw of an experience as possible.
We did see a few previews of the new game because we saw Dio for the Gold Saucer. I saw you laughing
at
that.
Yeah.
So we saw, because we haven't watched any of the like most recent trailers and stuff anymore. So like that could have been part of the trailer for all I know.
Oh, right? I'm sure it probably was. This like they had a mini gameplay trailer at the beginning of Advent Children. They had a few interviews with the director.
Directors. Yeah.
Just you know.
Yeah.
Bits and pieces to get you excited for Rebirth to come out soon or already out. In any case, we're here to talk about Advent Children specifically. We'll kind of go over the story a little bit. I don't want to go into hyper details because at this point, if you haven't watched it, just go and watch it and then we'll talk about it afterwards. But basically, the planet is trying to recover from the meteor fall. And in Midgar, they actually have like a big, a statue commemorating Meteor Fall, like, you know, it's been so many years since Meteor Fall, and like just a nice memorative statue because it did essentially fall on Midgar before the planet fought back. And the citizens are trying to rebuild and trying to build their lives back up. Cloud is working in as a delivery guy. But he hasn't really been answering his phone lately. There's also this mass outbreak of like some sort of virus, some sort of mysterious rash that they're calling geostigma.
Goopy rash.
Yeah. It's kind of turning people into like mush.
Yeah.
And like they're dying in the streets of Midgar. They're talking about how Midgar is kind of like a central hotspot for this issue. But as it comes to find out that Cloud also has geostigma, that he's been withdrawing from the rest of the team and not answering his phone, he's not really engaging with anybody lately because either he doesn't want them to know or whatever the case is.
Social distancing.
Yeah, for sure.
He had COVID.
Right, right. So, in the meantime, Shinra is still kind of hunting down bits and pieces of Genova for whatever reason. I don't really know. I didn't pick up on the reasoning why they're still hunting down Genova cells. Maybe just like, it seems like they kind of talk about how they were going to the crater looking for, you know, anything. But they did come across Genova in a small form, and while they were there, they all got attacked by these three entities, these three people.
Yeah.
They are Kadaj, Lowe's, and Yazoo.
Yazoo!
And they all kind of look like Sephiroth to some degree.
The Sephiroth triplets.
Yeah, they yep. And they're all hunting Mother. They need Mother. And they're ready for the reunion, and they need Mother. So as you go on, you find out that Geostigma is more or less the corruption of Genova cells in the life stream, and it's corrupting all these people, and
they're reacting to alien matter, basically.
Right. Yeah. And they're being infected.
Yeah.
Kadaj, Lozo, and Yazu, they are using this to their advantage, and all the kids that are infected, they're manipulating to try to help hunt down Mother. That's like their goal is to find Mother to...
Mother!
Essentially, what they're trying to do is to gain Genova cells in order to recreate Sephiroth within themselves. Because once they have Genova cells, then they can ingest them. They can absorb the Genova cells to become Sephiroth.
I just assumed we were redoing basically that... as in the past, rejoining for a reunion again. But I suppose if it is it would be specifically for Sephiroth, though, right?
Well, the whole idea is that Sephiroth still wants to destroy the planet and use it to go essentially continue Genova's mission, which was like Genova's story is basically she came from outer space, landed on Earth, and was wreaking havoc. The Cetra then contain her and store her away in the ground, and then Shinra finds Genova thinking that she's a Cetra, but then finding out that she's not, but she has all these abilities. Well, they've already injected Genova cells into all of these people, and they're reacting in different ways. Then they make Sephiroth, who has both Genova cells and Mako infusion, and he's able to utilize them. Well, once he finds out about all of this going on, he wants to destroy the planet and continue on Genova's legacy of going from planet to planet, blowing them up, essentially.
Ah, yes, the circle of life.
So, because Sephiroth is so... invested in trying to destroy the planet, he somehow is able to create these three guys to help him go forth and find Genova in order to absorb Genova to become Sephiroth again. And you see that happen. You see, you know, Cloud and the gang all struggle to fight this group because this group... Kadaj's group
triplets.
Yeah, they're really having a problem with, or they're wreaking havoc trying to find Genova, but essentially like kidnapping all these children and like corrupting their consciousness. They all drank that like
the goop that the bloody water.
Yeah, and so they had like control over these kids, and then the kids were supposed to go out and help find Mother. Well, they somehow decided that Mother must be inside this...
the monument that they have set up.
The monument inside Midgar for Meteor Fall. So they all go to the monument to, like, destroy it to try and find Genova, and, like, it's not there.
Well, they summon the...
They summon Bahamut.
Is it? I don't think it's actually Bahamut.
I think it is.
It looks... Okay, well.
They don't outright say it, but they summon a big monster that flies around and does big moves like Bahamut does.
Okay.
And, but yeah, so the Cloud's trying to fight Bahamut and Kadaj's crew, and, like, Bahamut shows up, and all of the team members from Cloud's past, they all show up. You got Barret, Yuffie, Vincent, Kite Sith, Red, 13, all of them all show up. And they help fight Bahamut, take down Bahamut, but they still have Kadaj's crew that's left. Cloud chases after... Well, actually, Kadaj gets a hold of Genova cells.
Yeah, from Rufus.
And Rufus has been holding him the whole time.
He didn't know the whole time, which is
kind of
funny.
How do you not know? In any case, Kadaj does eventually get the cells from Rufus, and Cloud chases after the group trying to get the cells back or trying to not let them achieve their end goal. And essentially, Kadaj does eventually absorb Genova material and become Sephiroth. And when he becomes Sephiroth, then Cloud has to then fight Sephiroth again. And he does, and he wins, and everyone's happy. In the meantime, there's, like, destruction in the church, in Aerith's church. And I assume...
By the way, I hate to interrupt. I thought this was hilarious that they're riding their bikes in this church.
Oh, I know. I know.
And I'm just imagining Aerith from, like, just watching from the side, like, my church? His children are riding their bicycles in my church.
Well, I kind of had this thought of, like, is nothing sacred to Cloud? Like, Cloud, he has no hesitation to, like, plow through all the, you know...
Plows the doors down. Yeah. It just reminded me of, for some reason, just these two kids, like, you know, moms are like, don't skate in the house!
Yeah, right.
Just, like, just bring their bikes into the church. Anyway,
So there's destruction in the church, and this, like, water spring comes up from the ground out and fills the church with water. But it also starts to rain, and this rain has, like, abilities to heal Geostigma. The assumption that the movie tries to give you is that Aerith is cleansing the water.
It's cleansing the... I thought it was that they were trying to say that the planet is trying to cleanse that... the alien matter, basically the geostigma.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So that's why it had, because that is like the main hub, at least for us, as far as we're concerned. So yeah, it made sense to me.
So in any case, Cloud fights Sephiroth, defeats Sephiroth. He does have to kill Kadaj and the others. And then all of the kids who didn't get healed from the rain go to the church, and then they all are healed of their geostigma, and that's pretty much it. I mean, in a nutshell.
Yeah.
There's other stuff about this kid named Denzel, who is like, or Denzel. He's like an orphan. Yeah, he was adopted by like Tifa.
Kinda, yeah. I think they do some weird the way they did the flashbacks in this game was not very well done.
Well, I don't think that all those... Because the version that we watched was the complete version.
Okay.
And it had all of the, like, cut content.
Oh, okay.
Where, like, the release that I remember watching didn't have a lot of that content in there. Which is why a lot of it felt, like, awkward, I thought. Because there were some spots that, like, didn't really fit... Or they did, but they were, like, in the wrong order, it seemed like. And, like, a lot of it didn't have, like, background music at all. Yeah, it was just, like, characters talking. So it felt really weird, but I assumed that that's what it was.
I felt like that they would, like, the way they went into the flashbacks, it's like you had to stop a moment and realize, oh, this is a flashback that is happening. Because it just, like you said, I guess if it was like that, yeah, it wasn't placed... even then, I think that if there had just been even, like, a fade-in or something to be like... You know, there just was no indication that this was a flashback, so it just was awkward.
Yeah, it did feel really weird. It felt hard to get a handle of the sequence of events when it comes... Especially so with Denzel. Like, they didn't... I think what I gathered from watching it, at least recently, is that Denzel's parents died in...
When the plate fell,
right. And he's been just kind of living on the streets since. And he's been doing okay until he got infected by Geostigma. And then Marlene kind of helped him, you know, get back on his feet. And he's been with Marlene and therefore Tifa and Barret ever since. What I find weird about this whole thing, though... Marlene is, like, a heavy character in this, like, holds a lot of story weight.
Yeah.
Not that I really talked about her in it, because, like, it was irrelevant, really, but, I mean, she has a lot of screen time. And so does Tifa. But, like, Tifa, it kind of seems like Tifa and Cloud are living in the same, like, apartment.
Yeah.
Along with Marlene. But, like, Barret's nowhere. Like, we don't know where Barret's at. I thought that was kind of weird.
Marlene makes the best, like, Barret impersonation.
Oh, I know. That was fantastic.
Everyone loved that. And there was some, that's, like I said, the audience collectively laughing. The audience collectively laughs at bad dubbing.
Yeah.
Some funny stuff or just silliness of certain characters like Reno, I suppose.
Yeah.
Which is, there's something kind of wholesome about it. It's just like, you're just among people that we all know what we're really laughing right. at. You know, there's something nice about that. But yeah, she does that funny Barret impersonation, which was really,
it was fantastic. Spot on, yeah. Yeah, it was great. But yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Overall, the story was kind of just okay. I mean, Cloud spends a lot of time being mopey.
Yeah,
like Cloud. he's obviously still feeling a lot of guilt about Aerith's death, and like towards the end of it they kind of make it seem like he's forgiven himself. Like at one point he has this, like, I don't know, daydream with Aerith where she says something like, "You've forgiven everybody but yourself." So like obviously he's struggling with this still, but like towards the end of the movie it seems like he's forgiven himself for everything that's happened.
I didn't understand, there's quite a few appearances of, like, a random wolf.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
And, like, you know, they made such a big pressing in on, like, his, like, armor, like, wolf thing. Like, his, what is it? I don't know. Like, he's got, like, a wolf that holds, like, it looks like a door knocker to me.
Yeah, I know, it does. It does. But,
like, you see a lot of appearances. I don't quite understand what or who it's supposed to represent. And you know, it, but I'm not gonna lie though, it felt like someone who makes video games made a movie.
Yeah.
That's how it felt.
Yeah. And it really
I mean, that
did.
Is what it was. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of just like weirdness in it that, also the length of the battle fight, the battle scenes.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I forgot to make that joke to you. It felt like I was fighting an icon battle in 16.
Totally. Yes. Totally.
I dare say that the icon battles were still longer, though.
I know. But yeah, like, the battles really went on way too long. Like, they were cool visually, but like, after so long, I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm over. The coolest fight, though, my opinion, the like number one awesome scene.
Vincent?
No.
Oh.
It's when one of the Kadaja's guys, was it Lowe's? He comes in.
Oh,
he's fighting.
Yes,
he's fighting
right.
Tifa in the church.
Yes.
That fight scene is so cool.
They did a really good job. Like the dynamic angles, the feathering of all the petals.
I loved watching
Tifa.
It was the way that she was like moving.
Yeah.
Like the way that she, like, she was thrown at one point, she lands on the like wall and then jumps back. And like the whole scene just felt so like cool.
Yeah.
It just was awesome.
Yeah, it was. I don't know why I didn't think about it first, because yeah, that is like the coolest fight in
that
the
is like the coolest scene.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of like motorcycle scenes that are kind of cool, but they overdo it.
Yeah, for sure. One in the church.
Right.
I think by the time it went to the church, it was like, okay, we've seen enough motorcycles. This has gone too far.
And then, like, the Sephiroth fight is really long, too.
It's pretty cool, because you see what I assume is Omni-Slash again.
Yeah.
You know, it's fitting. And it's cool, because you finally get to see Sephiroth, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of a big deal, too, right? Like, seeing all these characters in this way... In 2005, this was a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, because the last time you saw these characters was in the original Final Fantasy VII. So, like, maybe Kingdom Hearts. I don't know if Kingdom Hearts came out about the same time. So, like, maybe you saw Cloud in, like, Kingdom Hearts. But, like, still, like...
Well, yeah, because Kingdom Hearts, he had his Advent Children outfit. Mm-hmm. So,
But, you know, that's what was cool about this, is seeing these characters... on the big screen, you know, in their full like HD way. Though I have to say the graphical quality is better in Final Fantasy VII Remake than it is in this movie.
I mean, again, so much time has passed.
I know.
But even then, like, I was still kind of impressed. Like, you know, they did a really good job. Considering that everyone was polygons before this, this was amazing. This was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I cringed a lot.
Oh my gosh, the dubbing was so bad.
Well, yeah, the dubbing was bad, but that's not what I was saying.
Oh
say.
No.
I meant like physically cringe from when Cloud was getting stabbed by Sephiroth over and over again. And then like he falls onto the building or whatever and like his blood like rains down on him, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, that is insane.
There was a few things, like, I think they even acknowledged that it was kind of over the top, like the flying into the air and stuff, like and being slammed into these pillars and stuff, like they acknowledged that it was kind of over the top, but that it still was kind of cool regardless. But yeah, the blood thing was kind of like, I'm sorry, if they can do that, why couldn't they do that for Genova in the most recent remake?
I know, right? Yeah, seriously.
I don't want purple goop.
I know.
And then, just in any case, I don't know. But, my biggest cringe was, it was a mixture of the dubbing and just the voice actors. It's like, I didn't feel like Rufus's voice actor was fitting for Rufus.
I didn't either.
At all. Reno's was perfect, though.
I loved Reno.
They did really good.
Reno and Rude were fantastic in this
movie. They are in general, though. I love those two. But, yeah, like, Sid's, Barrett's, Marlene really was fine. Tifa was okay. Even
Cloud. I liked Tifa.
But the Sephiroth triplets were kind of...
Don't cry!
Yeah, and you know, I think their voice actors were fine for them. It's just, like, it was awkward and weird, and I don't know if that had to do with being dubbed, you know,
well,
like...
Well, part of it, I'm sure, but also, like, they're supposed to be weird.
Yeah, I suppose
their character design is to be awkward and immature and, you know, I don't know. Like, they're meant to be uncomfortable. I don't know if kidnapping and... You know,
yeah, that was weird. It didn't feel like it had an important significance whatsoever. Well, after they didn't do anything with them other than like go around in a circle and hold hands. I mean, maybe I just haven't fully connected the dots. It's been a long time since I've seen it in the past since today. But
we were looking at who Kadaj's crew really is.
Yeah.
And what was it that I was reading here? Kadaj represents, so they all represent Sephiroth's personality, according to this little article here. Kadaj is Sephiroth's cruelty, Lowe's is Sephiroth's strength, and Yazoo is his allure. And I'm like, the allure to, like, draw children in and, like, kidnap them? That's not creepy
Which
at all.
Which is exactly what he did, by the way.
I know.
He's the one who's rounding him up in the car and getting ready to drive off. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
But again, I mean, it goes back to they were designed to be weird. They were designed to not be complete, you know, to be these incomplete personalities.
I guess I kind of understand that, but I still think, and I realize this is a video game company making a movie, but I think there are better ways of showing that they're just being awkward versus it just sounds like it's awkward dubbing to me.
Yeah,
more
yeah,
than anything
true.
Else. And I do think that some of it was just awkward dubbing.
Yeah.
Because, like, even the way, like, Rufus, what he was saying, the way he was saying certain words, was like, I'm sure in, like, maybe Japanese, it made more sense to what he
it's
said
like
at that moment.
They were one-to-one, they were one-to-one translating it. And, like, they should have been a little more creative with the translation to make it fit a little better. The like weirdest scene is probably Tifa's like silly Sally.
Yeah, I know.
Dilly dally shilly shally, and it just feels so awkward.
It's cringy, and the whole freaking audience was just, we were all laughing. Yeah, it was really funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. They said it a whole bunch of times.
I know. Yeah, I know. Visually, something that I couldn't unsee once I realized it.
Yeah.
Barrett, he's wearing like fishnets.
Yeah, I know.
And he looks like he just got back from the like club.
Daddy had to make some money. No wonder he's never there with Marlene and them. He's busy.
Oh no. We just unlocked some real lore.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, they really gave everyone different outfits. Sid's, I felt like, made sense for...
Sid seemed fine, and I liked that he had a new, like, airship. That was kind of cool, too.
I mean, you know, he was wearing clothing that I think was very fitting for, you know...
Sid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was kind of sad, and I felt this way even when it first came out, where Kite Sith doesn't have the Moogle.
Yeah.
But it made sense why he was riding...
I loved his, like, strong Scottish accent. Like, hardcore.
I don't know if you noticed, you might have probably, but at the end, when all the kids and stuff are in the church looking for Cloud, I think it's Marlene. She's holding Kite Sith.
Yeah, I did notice that.
He's like dangling and holding on to her. Yeah, I did notice
that. Yeah. There was also inside their room, there's a couple pictures. No, I do love the chocobo, the wooden carved chocobo. I want that chocobo so bad. I'm tempted to hire somebody to carve that chocobo for me.
Just do it yourself.
I should, if I could figure it out. In any case, there's some like hand-drawn pictures in the background of Cloud and Tifa.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's Tifa. They're so cute.
They are really cute.
They're so cute.
Face,
yes, I want to recreate those drawings because they're so adorable.
That was cute. Yeah. There was quite a few little details here and there if you're looking. Yeah. It was like, oh, yeah, that's really cute. I kind of really liked the meteor monument. That
yeah,
was really
too.
Cool. That seems like something that they would have done.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it would have been a big historical event would have, you know, commemorated.
But yeah, there was quite a few things like that. That was really cool. I really liked Vincent, the way he had his cape flopping around and stuff. That was kind of different.
It was different.
I mean, you
I liked the joke about Vincent not having a cell phone.
That he's looking for. He's like, where can I find a cell phone?
Where can I buy it? Like, that's the one thing he has to say before fighting enemies. He's like, where can I get a cell
and
phone?
Everyone laughed at that too. That was pretty funny.
I thought it was more funny when Marlene's talking like, we'll just call you. And he opens up his cape and she's like, you have no cell phone?
Oh, it was really cool seeing Vincent, though, in that. Like, it was somehow fitting. It just
I mean, Vincent is essentially Batman.
He really is Batman.
I'm pretty
sure.
He's
a lot cooler than Batman, in my opinion.
It's the red. Yeah. And the pony shoes.
Oh, man, the shoes are driving me crazy. And that's how they are in the original.
How do you run with those things?
They're
huge.
So
they're like
clown shoes. Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool seeing Barrett's, like, gun, like, transform. I think it transformed, like, a time or two.
And Cloud's sword is pretty cool, how it's, like,
all
these different swords.
Of them,
yeah, they all kind of converge into one big sword.
Yeah, I really hope, at the end of all of the remakes that they have him place his sword in the ground where it is in this movie, because... That would be...
That would kind of...
Yeah, it'd be...
Wrap everything up
go.
In a neat bow.
But honestly, if they remade this, they could do so much better.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
It would be beautiful if they did, and they'd make it make sense.
I'm really surprised that they didn't. That they didn't just kind of do, like, a full redo of the movie.
Well,
like, even if you just kept the same voice act... kept the same audio and just kind of made the visuals a little bit better. And, like,
it
really could have used it. But, I mean, it was fine. It just... Could have been better.
Well, maybe they will after they've made money off of the movies. No,
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think they're done. I honestly feel like they barely wanted to do Rebirth and whatever the next one is. I think that they're just doing it to, because we've all demanded it for so long that they and it's making them some money, so like they're doing it. I don't think the developers actually want to do this project.
I don't know.
But they're too invested now. They have to finish it. I'm really curious to see how Rebirth turns out. You know, again, the developers are very much showing us what the outcome is supposed to be. Like, they're saying that, you know, Advent Children is canon to the story. So, like, obviously the outcome of, like, Aerith dying and the outcome of, like, the meteor fall and how Sephiroth dies, all that's still canon. So, like, that's not going to... That core of the game isn't going to change. And, like, the prequel with Crisis Core, that's all canon. So, like, none of that's going to change. So it's just, how are they going to play with the unknowns in between? And something that was reiterated yet again in this movie was the Pyreflies.
Yeah, you're right.
Kadage and his crew die in a thing of Pyreflies. And I say Pyreflies from Final Fantasy X. They're very, very similar to the same thing.
Life streamy
particles. Yeah. And Crisis Core was the same way. Like, when a character died in Crisis Core, their bodies dematerialized into these Pyreflies. So, like, it stands to reason that, like, Zack may not be dead.
Maybe.
And, like, well, who's the other guy?
Genesis.
He may not be dead. Like, yeah, their minds can still go to the life stream, but Sephiroth has already proven that they don't have to stay there. So, like, if they have a body to return to, they very well might. So, you know.
I don't know.
But it also stands to reason that Zack is probably dead towards the end of the game. So
he is dead.
Dead in Crisis Core. So, like, something happens. Either Crisis Core, he didn't die, and he dies somewhere else along the way. Or maybe he did die and something else is going on. But, like, I kind of have that suspected, that sus feeling that that's what they're playing on, is that Zack didn't actually die just because we didn't see the Pyreflies. And they've been showing us this Pyrefly thing since since Crisis Core.
Yeah.
So, like, that's an obvious feature to death. So, since we haven't seen it, potentially maybe, hasn't died.
We'll have to see.
That's how I feel about it anyway.
I don't know. But I'll be interested if it pans out that way. For sure. Yeah.
I think that realization when we played Crisis Core was the only thing that made the ending of Final Fantasy VII Remake make any sense. Because seeing Zack, I was so frustrated at that scene, because it's like, why? It's one thing to kind of twist it here and there, but to outright, like,
defy the whole story.
Right. Yeah, just ruined it for me. But then it's like, to play Crisis Core and be like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Everyone else dies this very specific way. And then in Crisis Core, they did the same, or in Advent Children, they did the same thing. So it's an obvious feature to at least, like, soldier-esque members, which again, Zack falls under that term. He should have died the same way, and he didn't. So, like, there's more there. So,
interesting.
Yeah. A little bit of theory going on there, but we'll see.
So, if you had to rate the movie 1 out of 10.
Oh, man. Overall, I would say maybe, like a 7.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
I was gonna say a 6, but I gave it an extra point because that fight in the church is just so cool.
I would like to mention too, especially having surround sound, the music, I re-fell in love with the music.
Yeah.
Great music. It was so, even with like the absurdity of some of the moves going on and whatever with the dubbing, the music in surround sound when you're in this fight, especially the Tifa fight, like that music starts, you're like, yes, I'm here for this. Satisfying.
Yeah.
Super satisfying. And the like deep rumbling, like they had the overworld sound kind of going. It was like, oh, so cool hearing it, bah, you know, yeah. that low tone or whatever you call it. It was just cool, and it was Final Fantasy VII music. You know, it was a revamp of some sort for it, and to hear it surround sound, it was just a nice. It wasn't the same watching it at home in, right, the, in my yeah. basement or whatever. Being at the theater surround sound, like it is a moment that you just are experiencing. So it was cool just for the experience. Well, that
could be said for any movie that you see in the theater. I mean, you go to the theater for the experience. Right. I mean, I could have sat down and watched this in the house for free, but we all spent a little bit of money to go to the theater and enjoy it there.
I'm just emphasizing, like, the music was awesome, and the theater definitely adds to that, like, because, again, the music is just good.
I'm very familiar with the Advent Children
soundtrack.
Yeah, but specifically Genova's theme.
Yeah.
That version of Genova's theme, I'm so familiar with because I play it a lot personally. I have it in my playlist.
It's a really cool.
And that version, when it first kicked on in the movie, like, I heard that, like, the beginning kind of starts with this low, like, hum sound.
Yeah.
And I heard that sound, and I'm like, yes. Like, I could feel the hairs on my arm standing up. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, for sure. We are such nerds.
That's what we're here for.
You know, we left the movie theater, and we were just kind of chatting and stuff, and I kind of felt a little embarrassed. No, there was no one there, but I was like, if anyone just overheard us, we sounded like a bunch of nerds. And we are, to be fair, but like, it was so cool that they did this, and we were able to go to the theaters and listen to it, or watch it, rather.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're going to an event like this, I mean, this movie is
darn near 20 years old.
And like, everyone that was in the theater with us, a bunch of them were wearing like Final Fantasy VII t-shirts or like Kingdom Hearts-esque shirts, you know, like video game nerd memorabilia. Yeah. Like, we're amongst friends.
Yeah.
Like, we all have very similar thoughts going on right now, especially with Rebirth, you know, right on the verge of coming out for us.
Yeah.
Right on the verge of coming out, we're all like in this state of what the heck is actually going on. Like, we want to know. I'm excited about whatever twist they're trying to pull on us.
Yeah.
And I think that's the whole point. I think the whole point of the twists and turns that they gave us in Remake was to stage up this big reveal.
Yeah.
And I think that we're gonna find out soon, or it's at least gonna get worse. The craziness, the chaos is gonna get worse until the final act, when everything kind of clicks. So I'm really curious to see how this all plays out. I'm really excited to play Rebirth.
Next week for us, anyway. It'll already be out by the time this is out. But
the plan right now is that potentially we'll be able to beat it within a month and review it on our next podcast episode. It just depends on how much time we actually have to dedicate to it. But, I mean,
rush it at the same time.
Right. I don't want to rush it, but like, I know me, and
you're
that
I need to play this.
It's going to be every night sort of thing for me. Like, either every night or almost every night. So, and I'm not planning on streaming it. I'm just going to enjoy the game for what it is. I have been streaming Final Fantasy VII Remake, so if you want to check that out, you can go to our Twitch channel. There's also our YouTube channel. Zap Night Plays is our YouTube channel for all of the, like,
all the uploaded videos.
Yeah, the finished playing streams. So yeah, if you want to check us out, there's places you can do that. I don't know how soon I'll be done with playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. I'll probably be done playing it by the time this airs, so like, I could say check me out over there, but I can't say for sure.
Yeah.
Kaylee's planning on streaming very soon.
Hopefully. Yeah.
So we'll give more information on that when that starts coming out, probably on our next Zap Chats. So stay tuned for that. That'll be on the 15th of March. Wow.
It'll be here like tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. It'll feel that way. So yeah, guys, thank you all so much for hanging out and listening to this podcast episode. Sorry it's a little bit different than normal, but I hope you still had a good time. And we'll catch you guys on the next one.
Bye.